If I were to ask you what your philosophy of life or your creed, what would that be?
Have a good time all the time.
A podcast has changed my life.
Shine, it's lovely to meet you.
Yes, nice to be met.
Come on, sit down, tuck in.
This is not funny!
Did you go through your bank account?
So I just looked at every single thing, every Uber trip.
Oh.
Some of them you're like back from your place at like 5 a.m. or whatever, you're like, oh.
It's work.
But then you're like, hey, I mean, you stay up long enough. Maybe it is work.
Dude, maybe you hit the daytime and you have a quick writing session.
Exactly. Yeah. They don't know what
you
that
don't
looks
know
like.
Where
I'm a productive
member
of society.
Like, I've probably gotten a bit at 5 a.m. before, maybe.
I've woken up to some pretty fucking dodgy note app entries.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think it's usually in that category that late.
Dude, someone's texting me at the moment.
Oh, hello.
But it's okay. Like they've got we've got similar numbers. Like our numbers, like the first 8 digits of our numbers are the same. And so he's texting himself like reminders or whatever. Hang on, where's my phone?
What do you mean? Hang on. So there's someone who's accidentally texting you. Who thinks they're texting themselves.
Yeah.
That's got to be one of the most pathetic things I've ever heard. Of all the tasks in life.
Wait, so let me...
Texting yourself should be one of the easiest.
You would think.
Or emailing yourself. Like, it's I email myself stuff all the time.
Yeah, so here we go. It goes, Barb's enclosed. So you're this is crazy. I'm showing you right now. It's like Barb's enclosed, empty pot in hallway, swarm of flies, package in hallway, phone call. Best and less, Williams, pay electricity, pay CTP, then 2 YouTube links to some fucking things.
Oh, my God, yeah, it's notes
air
to themselves.
Air and tyres, water bill, BNI, CZX, whatever that means, then banana, onion, olive oil, yogurt.
Banana, onion, olive oil,
that's just
yogurt.
A phone bill. Then it says script, 2 certs, so I guess cert 2, yeah. Person on call, and then like another. But it's
well,
like...
there's YouTube links.
Click on they're weird shorts. I mean, I don't know what they are. Like, obviously, they're like TikTok-y things. Like, there's just a dog.
Okay, there's a...
Actually, that's not bad.
That's an injured dog.
Oh, is it?
It looks it. That's quite sad.
Or is it just scratching its
or
balls?
Or is it just scratching its balls on the ground? Okay, but that's...
Straight dog stomp. Wait, it says wait for it.
It says wait for it.
It does say wait for it.
The power of the wait for it in a TikTok or a YouTube video.
I watch like a vlogging thing on like how to get more views. And it's
really?
Always say wait for it. It does work. Look, the dog's fine. Anyway, but how's this guy that's messaging me this stuff? Like, hasn't... Surely he goes to check his messages and it's not there.
Well, I mean, it still would be there on his messages as just like a sent
thing.
Oh,
yeah, of course. And that's all he needs.
That's all he needs. And to be honest, when you send something to yourself, which I have tried to do via text, I do it a lot with emails to send yourself files or reminders or whatever.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But with text, it comes up twice. Once sent, like if you have an Apple iPhone, once sent, once blue, and once gray.
Once received.
So it's kind of frustrating, actually.
But he
it's actually ideal for him to send it to just some random number and then just have it in the sent, and that's just my reminder number, and you're just copying it.
Well, I've
not telling him to
fuck. But I've had so many chances to reply and be like, hey, you've got
like
the wrong number.
You feel like you've missed the boat, do you?
No, I'm just enjoying seeing what's going on.
I suppose.
Like, what's he up to? Like, obviously, he's doing a cert 2 in something, maybe TAFE.
Yeah. You think something. That you're going to get pleasure out of watching his life develop over the next
hopefully
couple of years.
In 3 years' time, it's like...
Also, you're saying he. You're assuming it's
it feels like a he.
Why? Because it's...
Well, like...
He's an idiot.
Idiot.
Yeah.
Texting like a man, which is... We've spoken about this before. Like, you can tell... Sometimes you can get close to the gender based on the way they text. And the weird videos, like that one of the dog scratching his balls, that seems manlike.
Look, yes, I think the balls aspect of that video is manlike, but the dog aspect of the video is a bit more...
Nah, man, everyone likes dogs.
It's a bit of
I think that's both genders.
I think women
I think
like
if it was a
more.
Woman, if it was female and it was dog-related, it would
Let's look at the other videos.
It would be cute dog.
Yeah, true.
Okay, hang on. Let's go for the next video.
Okay, oh, it's a dog. Cat. Like, okay, it's a bloke with a cat. Oh, is that a dog?
It's another dog.
Okay. And
but he's like a hot dude.
Yeah, exactly.
So this doesn't.
Yeah. Okay, it's a bit of a nothing
okay,
video.
That's real nuts.
Yeah, okay. So there was just a kind of cute guy with his little dog.
Okay.
And then this is...
What's a dad joke?
This dad joke cannot go unnoticed. I've watched this 10 times and crack up every time. Flintstones joke.
Okay. All right. I got to catch my breath for a second. Okay. What is the difference between Dubai and Abu Dhabi? The people in Dubai don't like the Flintstones. But the people in Abu Dhabi do...
Yeah, okay, this is a man. This is a man for sure, yeah. I feel like women are too emotionally intuitive to be tricked by something so horrible.
Also, it's like air and tires, water bill. I mean,
air and tires. You're saying that women don't concern themselves with things of that nature?
No, not at all.
It's the man's job.
Not at all. I just think if you put it all together.
Bananas, yogurt.
What I mean, that's not gendered.
Can I talk about everyone loves for a bananas. Second, though, those TikToks / YouTube videos, Twitter videos, whatever, of people delivering a joke, but they're laughing already at their own joke. It is kind of a comedic style. Jeremy Hotz is a stand-up comedian who I really used to like, still do. Canadian guy who kind of is always giggling at his own jokes.
Chris D'Elia is like famous for just always cacking up.
Totally.
And look what happened to him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not so much a fan of his comedy, very much a fan of what he does in his personal life, but not the comedy. Tom Gleason, I think, kind of laughs at his own jokes a little bit.
Like, dude, but we've spoken about how smiling helps.
Yeah.
It's like both of us have been doing pretty well in comedy till we realized if you smile, it helps so much.
If you look like you're having even vaguely a good time, this actually can encourage the audience to play along.
Dude, I realized that doing a Zoom show, like looking at my face as well, I was like,
totally.
The minute you... Like, you just have to smile. Otherwise, it's not an enjoyable experience.
That's why I like watching yourself on the Zoom. I feel like people have complained that there's a video of you there when you're interacting with people over Zoom, and they get distracted by that. They find it uncomfortable. I think it's good because, yeah, you can kind of monitor how you're being perceived
have
and, like,
update
it.
You never get to see yourself in real time. It's
good. Yeah, I'm making little improvements, I think, to my body language.
Dude, absolutely, me too.
Yeah, making little additions to make the clarity of gestures better. But I feel like that laughter, it's just, frankly, fake. That guy's giggling. He's like, like he's fucking cacking himself like he couldn't, but like.
Abu Dhabi do, though. I don't know. It's like, I reckon.
Get fucked.
But
you're so defending Abu Dhabi do. You think it elicits that level
I like
of
Abu Dhabi do. I reckon it's like, well, look.
It's stupid.
Probably a bit of fakeness.
It's absolutely
because
fakeness.
Because they've turned the record.
He would have had to do. He was in his car. He's like. He would have.
No, but he's ringing
then,
someone. That's like a FaceTime call.
No, it's not. That's a stitched.
Oh, is that a stitch?
That's a stitched. TikTok. So that's someone has done a video themselves and then someone has duetted it. That's what it's called. Where it's like
what's
a reaction
a
video.
You know, stitch, isn't that stitching?
I think maybe the same thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, they basically film themselves watching the original video.
Dude, that's but he could like be in that kind of like uncontrollable laugh, which I haven't
had. You ever filmed yourself during that?
Well, you'd laughing too much to think to get the phone.
That's what I mean.
You can't use your hands.
If you're actually ruffling, you're rolling on the floor laughing. Yeah.
He's ruffling.
He was, that is a ruffle.
He was ruffling big time.
He was, but my point is you wouldn't have the peace of mind or the I suppose, what am I trying to think of? The something of mind.
I know what you're trying to say. The
wherewithal.
No, the.
That's a synonym at least. You wouldn't have the wherewithal grab a phone, spin it around correctly, frame the camera correctly.
And then start laughing.
Deliver the joke correctly, laugh perfectly in the bits. It's like, it's fake.
Yeah, but.
And I find it manipulative.
A lot of comedy is fake.
Present itself as kind of genuine. He's a guy in his car. He's like, it's a dad joke. He's trying to come across like he's kind of legitimate, but he's not. He's a faker, just like the Chris D'Elia's.
The Chris D'Elia's a
and
faker,
he's probably also texting teens, that dog.
Yeah, I reckon that guy would be, for sure. He looked, I mean, yeah. If you're listening, you didn't see him, but he was a man.
Dad guy in his late 40s. He probably got some messages.
He might love Chris D'Elia.
After that blew up, probably went to his head.
Dude, his favourite comic.
Started speaking, treating his wife different.
He came home.
Yeah.
I'm a comedic god.
I'm
you
actually the Abu Dhabi do guy, so I think maybe treat me with a bit more respect.
She's heard the joke a million times as well. She's like, you weren't fucking laughing again when you told her, were you?
Exactly.
I've seen this a million times.
I find your delivery a bit on the nose at the family
events. She should stitch it and then be like, really? Can't get it up at night, huh? Laughing a lot now.
Maybe that should be some sort of thing you click on TikTok.
To see the partners. I would love to see.
Yeah, I want to see everyone in your family. I want to see a bit of a background. You know what I mean? Get a sense of like whether this is
what
legit.
What do you do for a job? Do you have any kind of background? Like he might be doing an amateur acting class at the moment.
Oh, I reckon
and he's
he
like,
might
I'm going to express myself.
It goes back to what I was saying about like people who kind of use sadness a bit manipulatively. And it seems kind of convenient when they have this expression of sadness in public,
yeah,
which is sometimes fine. But
you know, like the persona of a person that's always cynical. Sick? People that yes. are always sick. That's my favorite. And they're just always online being like, wow, got the test back. It's extreme fatigue.
The
it's
ambiguous
fatigue.
Hospital photo. I'm back in again.
Like, hey, guys, send me good wishes in here for another 2 weeks. And then people write, what's wrong? No reply.
Would you mind clarifying exactly what the severity of the illness or ailment is so I can kind of calibrate how sorry I should be? Because if it's quite serious, I want to be very sorry. I want to send you an earnest message.
Yeah, yeah.
But if it's just chronic fatigue again,
yeah.
I'll just maybe a like, maybe a love heart comment is probably appropriate.
Is chronic fatigue, I mean, it is real, right?
But I think it's real.
But it's like how many people? I feel like I know too many people that have had it.
Mm. Is it chronic?
I feel like.
How chronic is it? Is it just fatigue?
It looks to me like it's catchable. It's transmittable.
I think it's one of those things. I mean, I'm not a medical person. I have absolutely no background in medicine. But I think it's real and probably applies to, you know, a certain segment of people.
Yeah.
But then because it's got quite vague symptoms, it's just one of those ones which would be easy to lie about, right?
Hell yeah.
Like you can't say...
Man, I'm tired now. I
head
did the
injury.
Gym earlier.
You know, you can't go into the doctor and elicit sympathy by saying you've broken your arm if you haven't. I'll just do an x-ray, prove you haven't, then you're fine. But if yeah. you go, oh, I'm generally feeling a malaise, they're going to be like, okay.
A malaise. Apparently that's the key word. Then they're like, all right, yeah. let's bring you in.
And then do what? They probably don't
have
even treat
rest.
You. They just go like, okay, yeah, recommend sleep. And like I suppose you get to tell your friends you have
dude,
this.
Dude, it's like we don't have enough hospital beds. They're worried about it for now they're opening up the goddamn country.
That's when you
it's
know.
It's because they're filled with these people who want a long nap.
The premier should go, all right, we're running out of ICU beds. I hate to pull the plug on this, but yeah. we're going to have to kick out the people with malaise.
These fatigued at home.
These chronic fatigue people are going to have to get out of the beds. They're like, no.
I'm tired. I can't get out of
this
bed.
This is the real pandemic. It's chronic. I swear to God.
Man, I reckon I have every time I sit down on the couch at like 9:30 and I start watching something on Netflix,
yes,
fall asleep.
That sounds
every
chronic.
Time. Sometimes
you know, you're saying every day, like
not every time, but if I have a weed gummy, all the time.
Okay, no, that still sounds like chronic fatigue to me,
dude. That's what
let's
it,
not
it
investigate
like,
your habits,
no,
or your routine, or your actions, or anything that you could be responsible
the
for.
The reason I get up at fucking the sun comes up, and for some reason I'm compelled to get. I've been awake for 17 hours.
Yeah, no, let's not look at that. Analyze, you know, what that could be contributing. I think we could firmly put you in the basket of chronic fatigue.
People just like wearing that, like that bed, like that medical thing you get in hospital. It just covers you. It's like a frock.
Well,
almost.
It's just attention. I think that one, and I suppose everyone's got different connotations with hospital because, you know, presumably people have like family members or they themselves have been to hospital.
Everyone can relate.
As a kid, you know, you go in there. I associate
Did you
it
ever
with,
go to hospital as a kid?
I think I had asthma once.
Yeah, that's a cult because I went in for that. Or like a broken something.
Yeah, I never
you
had
break
a broken.
Something,
but
you cut? Ever have to get stitches?
No, you?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Right.
No, you're not in a bubble.
Yeah, look, I lived a pretty...
You had chronic fatigue. You stayed in bed growing up.
Exactly.
Well, you never broke an arm or had a cut?
I had a cut, but I didn't go to fucking hospital.
To get stitches?
I never needed stitches.
Man.
Yeah, I was just a careful boy.
Man, I used to... I remember.
How many times did you go to hospital for a cut?
Probably like 6 or 7 times, I reckon.
You went to hospital... Well, like at what age?
Oh, up until 13 or 14.
Before
probably,
that?
I went in for a bunch of times for like a gash.
Far out.
Falling
like
off,
number fall, three.
Falling
your
parents off
like
bikes.
You need to stop. What are you falling off bikes for?
God, obviously wasn't very good at riding.
Yeah, I mean,
no,
I ride
like
bikes.
You try to go over jumps and
I wasn't
stack
trying
it.
To do that, yeah.
Once a tree fell down in our backyard and my parents were out.
Okay, that's an act of God.
And as an
eight-year-old,
I got a handsaw and started trying to chop it
up. Okay, no, that's not an act of God. I take it back. That was not
and
God.
I had
that was
my hand
fault.
Under of the branch cut through straight.
No,
I've still got a scar right there. You can see it. But when it happened, it was like cut right across
that's
there.
That's the classic rule. Don't cut towards yourself.
Man, I was in and out.
Yeah, okay. And they just stitch you up and
stitch
then
you send you back out.
Well, then maybe you relate to this then, because what I was going to say is that I feel like my experience of it early, specifically for me, is like it's not too bad. You're in there. My sister had like croup, I think. I was in a few times.
What's
with
croup?
Her. Something. I think coughing. Oh, but like, all right. There wasn't a sense anyone was going to die.
Right.
So like in there, I think one time I had my Game Boy. Like it wasn't too bad. Mm. So you do associate that frock with kind of like your world being mixed up a little bit, maybe even a little bit fun, I feel like.
Yeah.
If you've just been in there for cuts. I feel like if you had in your early life someone have quite a serious illness
yeah, it would change your whole perspective.
Yeah, totally. So I feel like people's association with it, yeah, when you post it, it kind of... At the very least, it does signify like, ooh, this is serious. You know what I mean?
The frock that they wear means so much.
If they were just wearing like a lime miniskirt and like a black top and they were lying in the bed, you'd be like...
That'd be funny to post a picture nothing. At the beach shirtless, like giving the thumbs up, being like, back in hospital for another 2 weeks and see if you get the same response of people being like,
well, but you're clearly is not everything in okay?
That's what I mean. But being like, I'm on, and if everyone's like, you're not, you'd be like, I'm on the way. I'm about to go in.
I just went
for a quick dip before.
I'm having a bad feeling about tonight. It's going to be big. Yeah. I'm going to fall off some shit. I'm going to be in hospital tomorrow. I've already booked it. Now you book in, you call ahead. What about wearing the frock outside the hospital?
Well, that implies you've escaped.
Yeah.
You know, that you've left does. When, I've always thought that's crazy. I've only been in hospital, like when I had bad asthma growing up. I've been hospitalized a few times.
Yes.
And the thought of getting out of the hospital is crazy. It's like that's your world.
As in running away.
You know when people you see in the movies, they pull the drips out and they just walk out the front door? Like that's...
Well, it depends how fucked you are.
Yeah, I guess. To me, it's just like I wouldn't even know how to get in. The hospitals are big places.
My dad tried to run once, I think, when he was in his 20s.
What was he in for?
I don't know. I think he... Yeah, I just don't know. I think he'd fainted or something.
Oh.
I think maybe, yeah, like he'd... But nothing too serious. But I think he needed a needle and he doesn't like needles. And he was feeling pretty good. Like it wasn't serious.
Did he get the jab?
So he was like... Oh, yeah, recently. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he's like, I'm going to run. And he like snuck out. Yeah, as you say, like difficult. It's a bit of a labyrinth in there. It's difficult to get out. But like he went around a bunch of corridors and then ran into his dad.
Oh.
And his dad's like, where are you going? He's like... Oh. Like your dad to catch you running away from the hospital.
It's like, go back in because you didn't want a needle.
In your 20s. Fucking hell.
Being scared of needles, I know it's legit. That is like a legit thing, but I just think it's so funny that it's like the show. It's like, yeah, it's just going to hurt for 1 second.
Just don't look.
Yeah, I don't look. Yeah, I never look.
I don't
away.
Like the needle.
When I got the first jab, it was like so nice and gentle. Oh. The second one, this woman just like threw. I reckon she was practicing for darts when Rio.
She threw it at you.
It felt like she threw it at me. It went in so hard. She left it in for longer.
Yeah.
The first one was just a gentle little prick.
Some of them don't. Some of them don't care. Some of them are worse at it, I suppose, as well.
Yeah. Are you enjoying freedom?
I haven't done anything different.
Yeah.
Really?
You? Yeah, I went down to the Royal National Park for the last few days.
Oh, that's right.
So I'd been doing big like hikes
each day.
But it was like pouring with rain, but fucking I was like, fuck it, I'm still doing it.
That's awesome.
I've had like a beer and a Palmer. But it is like as I'm having the beer and the Palmer, I'm like, this can't be it. You know, this can't be the thing we're all like, God, this is the thought of this is getting me.
Well, that's why
I was really left feeling underwhelmed.
Yeah. I mean, it does. I feel like that's the real problem with lockdown is that it makes you reassess why you like the things you like. All this talk of people online being like, oh, I can't wait for the pub. It's like, yeah, but it kind of depends in what context, who's there.
Yeah. And it's like everyone's
just
like,
the pub by itself
like,
isn't
oh,
good.
The tap beer. It's so, and I love beer, but it's like, it was just a beer.
It's fine.
I drank so many beers. Mm. The real upside.
Who are you chatting to?
I reckon the real upside is no more picnics.
Yeah.
Done with that.
I mean,
absolutely done with that. Fucking worrying about the hummus spilling on the picnic rug that's not yours.
I didn't have any of the equipment. I knew I wasn't in for the long haul. I didn't want to buy any of the equipment.
Yeah, I'm like,
I'm too inflexible to sit. People are frankly over that as well. Because I think maybe the few times I've done a picnic previously, I think not that I was deliberately doing this, but my inflexibility and inability to sit on the ground was a bit maybe charming or something. Like, I don't know. It was like people were like making fun of me or something. It was right. a bit of like a...
You could turn it into a thing. What's so you're like at jittery. And
get tolerance from people based on it being a bit of like a novelty.
Yeah. But
I think it became a bit of a meme that men can't sit.
Is that true? Well, they I do. So. I used to do a joke about men.
So people always
need to be passing a footy if they want to talk about their feelings. Yeah, and it's kind of true. Like picnic. I like
pretending to do yoga so I can talk about how
it's
I
like,
am.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, just miss. I do miss her, but like it's fine. You know? Just stretching their quad at the same time. Yeah, I'm going to do 7K in a sec, but just sort of catch
maybe
up.
That's why that nurse was chucking the needle at you. She was just trying to imitate darts so she could tell you how she felt. Oh,
and I was going to be like, the vaccine's not real. And she throws it at me. I like coming and going. That's the one thing I liked about the pub, meeting someone, then knowing you could just leave at any. The picnic, you got to do the big.
I don't think you can sneak off because you can.
Well, because it's like, where else are you going? Mm. Unless you're going to another picnic.
You know how I left the picnic that I went to? Mm. I mean, I think this is actually true of a pub as well. You leave to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Come back, you're standing up. You're like, well.
That's so good. Yeah.
You know,
I think I'm up.
I don't want to, like, getting down is like a half hour.
Well, it's getting comfortable, once you know? Set, you get, it's so funny, the power of getting up. One person gets up at the table, everyone's like, well, I guess we should be going.
Yeah, exactly.
And they could just be getting, like, this tomato sauce or something.
That's why when I don't want it to end, when someone gets up, I'm like, sit the fuck down.
Well,
fuck off. Even just standing up and lingering around is, yeah, it's getting in everyone's heads.
That would be fun. Themselves. If you had the majority at a dinner party, say there's, like, six people and you set up with four of them, just you to have all the majority. Stand up at
That's
once.
So funny. You're talking about it like politics.
I'm a government whip.
You've done a whip around. You know everyone's thoughts. You know how they're going to vote on this standing up motion, that this little scheme that you've hatched.
But if you could just get them on board to be like, when I stand up, you all stand up. You can end the dinner party whenever you want. Dude, if four people stand up at a dinner party of six, it's actually over.
So you have you could achieve way more than that. You're having a meeting before the dinner being like, I've got a dastardly plan.
Well,
we can end this whenever we... It's like, yeah, you could have done that just you if you said, oh, do you want to go, guys?
No, but that's too... But what I'm saying, you could make it feel organic. If everyone stands up, then the host is like, oh, shit. Oh, well, okay, let's... thanks for coming, guys.
Oh, so you're picturing at someone's house.
You're at someone's house.
And so there's six people there.
Yeah.
One or two, presumably, hosts. They're not in on the scheme.
No, I've done the whip around.
So you've done the whip around. You're like, guys, if I wink or when I stand up, you got to do it. Like, how would you motion?
If you haven't gone to a social event and before been to someone being like, hey, when you want to go to something, we'll go in together.
Yeah.
And when we can just
have
leave
you done
together.
That?
Yeah, like things you're kind of dreading.
Okay. Yeah. This doesn't sound healthy. Because you can
you've
leave.
You've never done that? I feel like everyone's done that.
I think it's implied sometimes if you arrive, if you're kind of better friends with someone that you've gone with, you come at the same time, you kind of leave at the same time. People kind of understand that it would be awkward if you were left there.
Yeah, totally.
But you can always, I mean, you can't leave with a dinner party. You have to wait for everyone to be done eating.
I don't think you do if you've got the majority. And my point is, this is more a hypothetical.
Halfway through the entree, four of you stand up.
Yeah. You don't even have to
we
say.
We have the votes.
No, you
don't simply
even,
can't do anything about this.
You don't have to say. You just stand
up.
You're
powerless here, host.
You just stand up and it's kind of over. It would be an interesting social experiment as opposed to doing it. Because I would never do that because someone's cooked.
Yeah.
And I'd love to share a meal with them.
Mm.
But if you all stand up, it's more about the power of standing up.
I mean, totally. I suppose. And I think it also speaks to the power of having a majority in a democratic society.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I like the idea that, like, they couldn't say anything. Like, it is parliament. Like, no, yep, the law just gets through because 51% of people voted. It's like, you might be mad at us for rudely scheming behind your back, coming here with a plan to ruin your dinner party and then all leaving without eating any of the food that you paid for and prepared. But you can't complain. We have the votes.
Yeah. And the majority is right.
Is this how social settings work as well? You're like, actually, no, probably.
Well, I watched all of the Survivor this year. I don't know if you watched any. And there was just like Labor kind of official that worked for the New South Wales Labor. So like this dodgy little scheming political. He's like a government
strategist. Was in Survivor.
Yeah, he almost won. He came second. Okay, he was so good though. But he was doing that at like every possible situation.
That's the thing.
He was so good because he couldn't. And
the schemers by nature.
He gave up every challenge because he was like, he's like this little weak, like had no chance. Like he's not coordinated. But just he was so good at scheming that he like probably should have won. He went like all the way.
Mm.
It was down to him and another girl.
Oh, I think I saw like the final bit where he was like, I played a good game.
He was like a bit autistic.
Totally.
Yeah.
That's what these... Yeah, I mean, I've told you this before, but the student politics people at uni that I was exposed to, that was exactly the vibe of them. They were just having so much fun in the election process and in the like the competition aspect of it. Who's going to win? Who's doing deals, like preference deals with other people to win? It was just very clear because it was quite raw and like early on in their lives that they didn't care about the policies.
Totally.
About like, you know, making textbooks cheaper or something. Like that's what they were saying. But it was so clear they didn't give a fuck about that and were just enjoying the scheming.
I would argue that never goes away for politicians. Well,
no, but I mean, they get better, I think, over time at like pretending they care, some of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like when you see them young, like I did, it's like, oh my God.
Their eyes wide open, just having the best time.
They're having so much fun.
Student politics, I remember I used to see them at my uni as well. Like you went to a uni where just does seem to produce a lot of Australian politicians.
Uni. Yeah,
the big to Wollongong
politics
uni.
Scene.
It's like the people doing student politics at Wollongong Uni. I'm like, you're the worst nerds because you are probably just going to end up being engineers or whatever, but you just want to have a fun go about
it. I don't know. I think it's the other way. I feel like they're the people doing it might have actually cared about the issues and they might have got into it because they kind of wanted to do something.
I never stopped to take a pamphlet, so I don't know.
Have I ever told you about when, because I ran to try to edit the student newspaper, about how I had to talk to lectures? No, we lost.
Oh, you had a team behind you?
Well, it was a team of 10. If you wanted to edit the student newspaper, I wanted to write like comedy articles in the student newspaper. That's why I did. But I was part of a team of 10 and we lost. But I had to as part of the campaign, you had to go to lectures from like fucking 8 a.m. in the morning. It was so shit. You had to get up at like 7 and go in.
Dude.
I mean, that's nothing for you, but I was hating it.
Sorry to hear. With your chronic fatigue as a child.
It's absolutely chronic, particularly in the mornings. And then you'd have to start at like 8 a.m., often in lectures of like engineers, because you could, based on like the faculties, they cared less or more about student politics. So like art students, law students. No, like they still didn't give a fuck really. Like if you're talking to 300 of them.
What, the arts kids didn't care? I thought that would be the ones that, or the law kids.
They care more, definitely. They care the most, but still not care. Still don't
care. Uni's so stressful anyway. It's like trying to get into to change the uni. It's like everyone's just using the uni to get out and get a job.
It's fucking annoying. They've gotten, they're at an 8 a.m. lecture as well. They're getting ready to like try to wake up and learn some shit. And then you're there like, oh, please vote for extra. it's just fucking annoying.
Dude, I would have hated it.
Yeah.
I can only imagine.
Exactly. That's
being like, I've got some funny satire thoughts. I'd love to write an article. And we'll do it weekly and you'll get it. Yeah. It'll be not only federal politics at a state level, but it'll also be quite localized to the campus.
Exactly. Exactly. What can you say? But it was even worse with like engineering students, for example, I think, and science students. Very low engagement in like the social aspect of uni. Or
they're either like jocks or like the nerdiest people you've ever seen.
Yeah, didn't see many jocks in there, mate. But yeah, I don't know. They probably socialized as well, but just weren't interested in like the student newspaper really or like student politics at all and were quite hostile.
Right. Just throwing paper planes that they've made perfectly.
And I went in there because I got paired up with a very goofy guy who was, I think, like a theatre sports kind of drama guy. We did the spruiking together.
Man, it's all over once you have a drama nerd next to you. It's like it's doing spirit fingers or something. Mm-hmm. It's just like you can never win. That guy's going to be hated.
So hated. Like he was and I don't, you know, he was a nice guy. One of the more annoying guys I've ever met, I reckon.
Sure, yeah.
Particularly at that age, I think. Kind of quite performative, quite physical with his body. Quite strange. I think leaning into being a bit strange. The benefit for me, though, was he was keen to take the lead with these spruiking things.
Are you doing stand-up at this point?
No. This is just like, you've got to speak for like a minute.
Yeah, I know, but had you done stand-up?
Yeah, yeah.
So you weren't at any point being like, I'll just do some gags?
Look, I did, and this is this is actually quite embarrassing. I think I maybe have wrote a poem or something funny.
You're ripping on the drama and you're there reading poetry.
I mean, it was like a funny poem.
Dude, that's crazy. If you write something specifically, that's what they're voting on. If you're the guy, then going to write the paper.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, what do you say? Because, like, the other people would just say platitudes about, oh, yeah, we've got 10 people all very experienced. We're going to write a great paper. Like, no one gives a fuck, first of all. Second of all, like, what can you even say we're good at? Like, you can't prove it. I'm like, may as well try and get some laughs.
Yeah, of course.
They were tough crowd.
Yeah, 8 a.m.
No one gives a fuck. Not only they don't give a fuck, they are actively, often hate this about the uni, that there's people campaigning all the time.
I agree.
It's one of the things that they really don't like about the uni, and they find it very frustrating, and you represent that to them and they want you to go away.
And you were just purely doing it because you wanted to be a comedy writer at that point. Yeah. So you
and
were,
okay, I in see, the previous year's thing, there was a back page thing that, like, Ben Jenkins and a few other people wrote like a kind of Onion-esque style articles.
And that's what you wanted?
A few of, and I'm like, I would love to, like, edit that bit. And like,
Of course,
for that, and like, what a good opportunity. But as a result, I had to go through this fucking student politics thing. Why is the fucking student paper even linked to student politics?
Why is it even voted on, though?
I know, it's stupid.
Just, if they're funny, like, give them a column.
Because they're obsessed. It was at the same time as the SRC elections, which was more kind of political and stuff. So that's where I got to see a bit of that. I don't know, I think they're just obsessed at that uni with the culture of there being student politics. But anyway, in my little duo, this weird drama guy was like, I remember one particular morning, we were going to the engineering lectures at 8 a.m. and he said, I've written a rap. And I'm like, fantastic.
Yeah, of course. This is cool. Terrific
this
news.
This is going to be great for me. And I don't have to do anything.
Did he have a backing track?
Well, he's like, I'm going to handle this. I've written a rap. All I need from you, Tom.
He's white, right?
Yeah. He's like, all I need from you is when I give you the cue, I want you to get your iPhone and click play on, I think, Lose Yourself.
Oh, of course. Why if you're going to rap for the...
It was... I'm the Slim Shady. Yes, it was that. Yeah, it was I'm the Real Shady. It was that song.
Yeah.
But he had like just a backing track version.
Still another... Do you pick the one white rapper?
Oh, yeah. But also one of the like lamest... Yeah, well, I'm the same shady. Like,
and
classic
that
nerd, joke
that,
uni
that drama
nerdy
voice.
Rapper. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yes, this is so good. You're so lucky you got to experience this.
And he's like, so when I give you the cue, press play and then just hold it up to like the mic at the lectern in front of the lecture theatre. And I'll take it from there. But I'll do like a bit of a 10-20 second introduction to the rap.
And were you thinking it's over at this point? Like my dreams of doing this... Or you didn't realize till after?
I was like, I mean, the guy running the team now works in Washington. He put the team together.
That's what I mean. That school just produces all these people.
Well, he just liked politics. He'd been kicked out of some other, like the union elections earlier in that year because he breached the protocols. He spent too much money on the campaign. There was a limit of how much. He spent like 10 grand on T-shirts and they were like...
ICAC got him.
They did an investigation. They're like, show us the receipts. Like, there's too many shirts of this kind. Like, look around. Everyone's wearing this guy's face. It's like...
Dude, to get done for being crooked at uni politics, that's so funny.
Because there were caps on... Because otherwise just the richest person would just spend heaps on marketing. So there was an investigation. He got kicked out of that election.
Yeah.
That was like 6 months before. So there was like the union board elections in the like first semester. Then there were SRC and the student magazine elections in the second semester. So he put a team together for the second one. He asked me and said it was because, he wants someone to do like comedy stuff. I'm like, perfect. Like, this is good. I'm going to get it. But it was actually because I did law and he wanted one person from every faculty to get the most votes from people's friends and stuff. Like,
it was a tokenistic choice.
Yeah, he was just being strategic and I feel like I didn't know.
You were played.
I was played. Yeah.
You got Frank Underwood.
Exactly. But like, I at this point just didn't want to have to speak and I didn't want to have to humiliate and debase myself.
So you're holding the phone?
Well, no, not yet. So we go in.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, yo, everyone, we're here from Extra and so we're running from...
He goes into rapping characters like hype man straight away.
Like, yo! He's tall as well, big arms. The arms are up. He was kind of, he didn't go into the crowd, but he was like walking around.
Full theatre?
Full theatre, 8 a.m., engineers. Couldn't be less of a vibe in there. He's like, yo, just being annoying. We're running for Honnêtement, and as a result, I've got a rap for you, and we want you to vote for us. And someone yells, fuck off. And he's like, okay, I'm sorry. And then a few other people are like, boo, get fucked.
And have you got the phone ready Not to yet. Go?
And then he's like, okay, yeah, look, I understand, you know, it can be a bit, but like, and people are like, boo. And then he looks over to me with...
Like, this is the cue.
With big kind of doe eyes, kind of like confusion, like, oh, it's not looking great. Should I do it? And I just pressed. I'm like, I think you're going to have to do it still. He was really looking at me like, yeah, let's cut it. Like, oh, let's
dude,
forget
I
this.
Would have done the exact same thing.
Dun, 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 dun. Now let's see it, mate. Wouldn't mind getting a look at this
and
little thing
you've prepared. And then did he just go, I'm a performer, let's go?
He went into it. He didn't commit as hard as I think he was planning to. He did it a bit half-hearted, if you ask me. But I did feel bad about that.
Booing throughout the rap?
Oh, yeah, just like smatters of and like, fuck off.
Yeah. Debrief after?
And I remember this. I was like, because I'd done stand-up afterwards. I'm like, are you all right? Because it was rough, and I know how that feels.
Still, like,
you know?
The one of the, like as bad a bomb as you could imagine.
Oh, it was up there. Like it was a terrible bomb. So I was like, "Yeah, are you okay?" Like, but you know, I feel bad as well because it's like I did it.
You
to
did
him.
It. I would do it. It's like it's like a bad crowd or something, and then just pushing them out to do stand up when they're booing.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Exactly. And like I could have helped him, but I didn't because I thought it was funny.
What are you gonna do?
But
rap as well?
No, I could have just.
There's no point to people. Like dying.
No, I could have just said, oh, yeah, let's call it, and then just walked out.
Yeah, but I mean, let the guy, he's a performer. This is what performing's all about.
Oh, it's not bad. But he, I remember, didn't want to talk about it. He was like, yeah, I'm fine. Why? Oh, yeah. What? And I'm like,
that's what actors are.
I'm like, oh, are you sure? Sure, you don't want to get some of this out? Because I just saw what happened in there, and I'm, you know, I know you're not okay.
Man, that's so good.
Kind of felt that fantastic.
And then, so yeah, you didn't get elected.
Well, after that point, I feel like about a week later, the guy who now works in Washington, who was running our team, approached me and said, we're thinking that you and that other goofy guy won't do any of the lectures anymore.
Word got back.
I think word got out that we were like spread. Bombing so hard we were doing like a disservice to the brand. So then we didn't have to do it anymore. The other eight people were doing it every morning, but we just got to chill because we were
so bad.
So bad.
So shit.
Which is actually a good outcome, really.
Man, that's great. That's just like a feel good story.
Yeah. Incompetence sometimes is the conclusion. It is the right approach.
You see this new premier we've got?
Yes.
He's having fun.
I still don't know his name. Dom
Perrottet?
Perrottet. It's Perrottet. Like Perrottet, but with a...
Perrottet.
Perrottet.
He's having a great time. Today he's like, no more quarantining.
Yeah.
Because apparently he loves Trump.
What?
Yeah, he's like really into Trump. And I think that's kind of where now he's just like, open her up. Let it rip.
It's not too bad. Didn't he say we can take international everyone and he didn't have the power to announce that?
Oh, did he?
I think he was like, we're just going to
take... But why wouldn't you think that when the states are all like so separate? I would be like, yeah, we can do whatever we want here.
Totally. I think, yeah, having international... I mean, they just clarified just this afternoon that only citizens and permanent residents and their families can come.
Oh.
It's not open to everyone.
Okay. So if you're
from... ScoMo did a bit of like a speech like, yes, because obviously... opening up completely would not be in the power of the states. That would be a federal decision, as the Premier knows.
He doesn't
like
know.
He didn't know that. He
had no idea.
A big announcement. He was
like loving. He's like the most powerful man in the country right now, and he's just absolutely loving the center of attention.
And didn't do anything to earn getting there.
Yeah, just came from nowhere.
It's the ideal.
It's
the opposite of my lecture story. My incompetence led to not being involved, but his just lack of involvement led to him being in charge.
Yeah. I mean, totally. But it's like when a TikToker gets massive. It's like when the TikTok prediction guy.
Now, this I can relate to.
You know, he just got overnight. Everyone's talking about this guy from nothing. And now he's speaking and then he just stuffed it up in 2 weeks. And
how's his dad?
Oh.
Isn't his dad sick?
He was in ICU with COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Need to check in on that.
Yeah, maybe he could do a prediction for us. How his dad's going.
No. But yeah, it'll be an interesting experiment. He said we're going to Bali before we're going to Broome.
Well, there's no one in Bali.
What do you mean there's no one in Bali?
So Bali's opened up this week and no one's allowed to fly in or no carriers flying in.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's no one there. Well, it's crazy because...
there.
Oh, no, there's people live there, but there's no tourists.
Okay.
It's crazy because Perth is like 3 hours away. Mm. And you'd have to think the majority, like so many people from Perth would love to go to Bali.
What's going to... Just they should open up the Western Australian bubble.
Nah, nothing.
Nothing?
I reckon they're fine.
Are they going to secede?
I think they'll secede. And I think North Queensland want to... Because it's like, they weren't, I feel like the people in North Queensland weren't, like their life hasn't really changed at all. It's like, why would they get jabbed?
But
and
they're
why would
so
they?
Reliant on tourism up there, particularly
North Queensland.
North Queensland.
Yeah, I guess WA's not
WA
that much.
Not as much.
Man, it would be cool if they, that would be like a cool moment for us to have to vote on it.
So what would have to happen? We'd have to do a...
I guess a referendum.
I mean, that's...
Or do they vote on it?
Well, I feel
and then
like
we have no say.
A referendum is necessary to change the constitution. That's one way of doing it, kind of above board, legally, whatever. But I think another way is just if Western Australia just
put up a fucking fence.
They just start being like, nah. Like, you can, you know, the piece of paper say what they say, but fuck off, you're not coming in.
Yeah.
We have a new visa system. If you want to come in, you've got to do this.
Man, they could. That McGowan has got a bit of like... Mm-hmm. Kim Jong and him, you know, he loves to kind of take the stage and people love him and he's kind of holding forth. It would be awesome if then like Scomac, he's got that new deal with the States and the UK, you know, that happened with the French submarines. He then calls his new buddies, we're attacking Western Australia.
I mean, this would be, because I've famously said that if there was ever a draft, I'd do everything within my power to fake an injury and not be part of it.
Absolutely.
However, a war with Western Australia, I'm in.
You're
Yeah. Let's do it. Fucking, it can't be that hard. Come on.
We've got the numbers.
Just
we're fine.
Absolute domination.
But Dad, you know what? They've got local knowledge. It's such a big state.
Yeah, it's
true. Dude, we would just go, I would fly straight to Perth and be like, all right, where are you guys? I'm going to sort this out. But they would have spread out. They'd be near Kalgoorlie. They'd be up to Broome. It's such a big state. I don't know where we would
like
go.
It's like Vietnam. They're in little holes.
Dude. Yeah, they've got tunnels. Time. Yeah. We'd be coming back all fucked up.
No, we'd have like cool kind of big city drones. They have sticks.
What have we got that they don't? Yeah, they, I mean, you we're know. Talking about them like they're like, I mean, they're richer than us, aren't they?
No.
Man, but they've been digging for so long. They've got underground Osama stuff.
They do. They've got huge trucks.
Imagine pulling, you know, that footage of like when they found Saddam Hussein and they pulled him out. And he's like got a big bit, like finding Mark McGowan in the super pit at That's Kalgoorlie.
Oh, yeah, that big.
Yeah, that big hole.
That big hole.
It's the first place I look if he goes missing.
That's it. Our fucking knowledge of the region is just based on where roadshow shows are.
Dude,
and,
I mean, of
and
course.
The one tourist thing you do after doing roadshow, and we're going to base the entire invasion strategy based on that.
But I feel like that's all the big places.
Mm.
Yeah, that's all. So that's where I've been. I mean, there's probably other little towns.
Yeah. So we're bombing what? Perth, Kalgoorlie, Margaret River.
Yeah, Albany, Geraldton. Bunbury, Broome.
Broome.
It's a blitz, dude.
Broome got bombed in the World War II. This can be
really
Broome War III.
Well, let's call them up.
Exactly.
Ask for some advice. Who did it? Japan.
Yeah. We got the Japanese on board.
Dude, we get Japan in, it's over. It's probably over anyway.
Yeah, it's over
dude,
anyway.
Dude, imagine like WA declares.
Round two, come on.
It's like that Norm MacDonald joke about like Germany just taking on the world. It's like WA decides to just go to war with the world. We get them all in. We got Germany on our team this time. Unbeatable. Actually unbeatable.
I feel like world war is kind of a vague concept because it wasn't really a world war, even the world wars. There were some countries that weren't involved.
Like
you know?
Spain just stayed out of the first one.
Which
is where
you.
The term Spanish flu came from.
Why, really?
What? Because it originated in America, I think. But then because it was getting all the troops.
Yes.
And then they just called it the Spanish flu because Spain didn't pick a side in World War One.
Really?
Yeah. So they're like, it's come from Spain.
That's actually a great revenge.
Yeah. So like, fuck you.
Because that's stuck around.
Yeah.
They were doing that thinking like, and now it's going to be associated with your country. So suck shit. And they were right. It is. It's the
totally.
Spanish
I've
flu.
Never gone to Spain for that reason.
Well, I associate it with them. And I think I until right now thought they were a bit responsible.
Yeah, I mean, it did. It's China will be remembered for COVID, though. Although they've done pretty well to kind of like I feel like remove themselves a little bit.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of court when Trump was like, it's a Chinese flu. Everyone was like, you can't call it that. And you're like, well, it did
come
from China.
Well, he was saying, what did he call it? The China virus.
China virus.
Yeah.
He was just following the Spanish flu rhetoric.
Yeah, he didn't call it Chinese flu. I feel like he was being a bit... If he just pulled it back a little bit, he would have gotten away with it more. But yeah, I agree.
Not his style.
My housemate's always been like, we need reparations.
Yeah, I like this movement that people are trying to do. It's like what are they going to give
us? Fucking good luck.
Yeah, we go off to China. It's like, hey, Australia as well. It's like, oh, I don't even think we've had a recession, had we? Oh, we've had one.
What do you mean?
From COVID.
Oh, right. I don't think technically a recession, but.
Yeah. And then we're like, could you pay our JobKeeper debt maybe?
Like, what are they? They're just going to be like, no.
Nah, dude. Fine.
They play hardball.
I reckon we bring them in against WA as well. On our side.
Yeah, okay. That's a good way to like, because, you know, the enemy of your enemy is your friend.
Yeah.
That's what I mean about the world wars, because I feel like the previous world wars had a lot of people involved, but then some people not involved. But like, what made it a world war? Was it the fact that Germany declared that they're going to war with kind of anyone?
Yeah.
Did they declare that?
No, it kind of just over time.
It was just a bunch of people and it kind of...
I reckon halfway through they were like, fuck, we're in over our head. Totally. We didn't mean to go to war with this many people.
On both sides.
It just was like one or two people we had some issues with. This is fucked, actually.
That's why I really don't understand Pearl Harbor. Because Pearl Harbor brought America into the war.
Yes.
Before that, they were just sitting pretty.
But I think Japanese were like, well, now's the time.
To what? Just go to fucking Hawaii unprovoked and do some shit that will get America in the Pacific. They could have overtaken all this shit in Asia.
Why go to Hawaii when you could go to New York?
Well, it's a bit closer.
Yeah, I guess.
Back in the day as well, we're talking the 40s. But like, don't you think that's just, like, why provoke that? I don't know. That seemed dumb to me in school.
Well, I guess it was, in hindsight, quite a wrong decision. But was there one reason they wanted to enter America in?
I don't know. I think they were just, quite frankly, getting cocky. They were like, come at us. They went to China. They did crazy, awful shit in China.
Japan.
Yeah.
It makes sense. They don't like China.
Yeah, but...
they've got issues.
Yeah, I suppose, yes. And then, I don't know. Yeah, we're capturing... didn't they take over Singapore? And I don't know exactly where they went in Southeast Asia, but I think they were in a bunch of places in Southeast Asia.
Yeah, they got around for sure.
And then I think it went to their heads.
And they're like, we could take America.
Yeah, exactly. Let's take a shot at the king. It's like, oh.
What is he? Better not miss.
Exactly. Give it a maybe. Make sure you've got the other stuff sorted first.
But, dude, what I will say for Japan, and a lot of, I feel like, celebrities that have been cancelled could learn a lot. One of the best rebrands of all time.
Totally.
It's like now everyone loves Japan. There was so much Japanese hate after World War II.
Oh, totally.
And they managed to turn it around, and now everyone's like, everyone I talk to right now, they're like, first place I'm going is Japan.
Well, there's a phenomenon of like the white guy and girl, to be honest, kind of dweeby person.
Yeah.
Who's very into anime and kind of obsessed with Japanese culture. And I wonder if that kind of stereotype is just almost like they seem designed in a computer program to frustrate their grandparents. You know,
that's probably died out now, dude. But the idea of your grandparents hating Japan was so funny.
Totally. But imagine a grand, like someone who fought in World War II, who, you know, rightly kind of has reservations about Japan because they fought them and they saw awful things that were done, right?
Yeah.
Which don't apply necessarily today, but like they, I think, are entitled to some resentment having fought in a war against a country.
Yeah.
Certainly don't like. Have some reservations about Japan. And having a grandson who kind of not only is a soft boy who's obsessed with cartoons and isn't like a military man like you, but is obsessed with the country that you fought
in
the
war. Has love in Japanese written on his arm.
It's like Japan lost the war, but they lost the battle, but they won the war. You know what I mean?
Dude,
they
totally
got into the minds of the Americans.
Dude, anime's huge now. That is a win, hey? Yeah. I reckon there would be.
We will maybe lose now, but we will emasculate your grandson to a degree that you couldn't possibly comprehend of in the 50s or the 40s.
Yeah.
Like a boy who's kind of a bit overweight, obsessed with cartoons and dyes his hair weird colors and plays video games and wants to go to Japan and live there. That's just
that's
level
probably why, cause
of dweebery that...
Maybe the America saw this. The writing was on the wall. That's why they had to end it.
That's why the atomic bomb was designed.
They were like, if we don't do it now, the only thing on our TV will be anime.
Our sons are getting girlier and girlier by the minute.
They got blue hair.
Kamen Oppenheimer or whatever his name was.
Was that his name that made it?
Oh, invented one of the main guys, I think. Dude. Fucking get to it.
I was talking to Waka once about this. I think I've told you about the atomic bomb.
Mm.
And he said there's like a real, in Japan, there's like, there's people are either in one camp, they're like the atomic bomb, they don't celebrate it, but they're like, it was good because it gave us this country now that we have this like, you know, amazing high-tech demo, like because of America then.
So it was such a
Yeah, but then there's shake. Other people that are just like, you are national traitors for like sympathizing, because they quite like America now in Japan.
Right. So yeah, like the old school people that obviously would resent America to a crazy
I would
degree.
Have thought they would never have forgiven America.
I mean, it's a pretty crazy thing to do.
Yeah.
It's like, it's difficult to forgive, I think.
But if they are working it through with like little cultural, like just chipping away year after year, infiltrating culturally, I mean, who knows what could happen in 200 years?
I feel like people don't talk enough about soft diplomacy. Like there's talk of...
I agree.
Well, just...
No one's talking about soft diplomacy.
They're not. And they talk about like the rise of China economically and, you know, they're building more warships and, you know, they're going to be equal to America in terms of their military capacity at some point during their lifetimes and like how's that going to play out? Now we're living in a world with kind of like two dominant powers. That's interesting. What's going to happen? But I feel like the soft diplomacy aspect, America's still killing it. I mean, their content has decreased, I would say, in terms of its quality over the past like 5 to 10 years.
Well,
in terms of bangers of Hollywood movies and stuff, they've gone a bit broad, ironically, for the Chinese audience, all of these Marvel movies.
Yeah, that is so true. And the Indian audience. Because India have started going to the movies in the last like 5 or 6 years. It's just huge money.
Totally. But then China, I want more movies out of them. You know what I mean? If they're going to be fighting for our interest in the future internationally,
I don't think we're a central power
in Asia. I mean, we're definitely more affiliated, obviously, with America. But, like, China makes some good TV shows.
So if they had better TV shows, we may...
Over time, definitely.
We may get this trade deal back going again.
Absolutely. Squid Game.
They might buy us our wine again.
Do you not have a bit more of like, an affection for Korea than you did a month ago?
Well, dude, I spent 24 hours in Korea, so I guess you could say I'm
with
quite
Richard
well-versed.
Wilkins, the best 24 hours of my life.
I'm quite well-versed with the country and the class struggle that seems to dominate Korean film. I know quite a lot about it. Yes, they live underground. Parasite, I saw it all coming.
They live in Seoul, but their society has no soul.
No, did you watch it with subtitles?
Oh, yeah, the big question.
Yeah,
of
course. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I was speaking to someone who, our friend Henry, who's like quite, like he's like a director and stuff, and he's like, I watched it dubbed.
Oh, right. It's a classic distinction of the people who watch in subtitles get to feel classier than the people who watch it dubbed.
And that's why I think Squid Game has had some kind of huge cut through with like basic people, because it's like often people hold this cultural elitism over people, like when they're like, I watch subtitle French films or whatever. And this is something that people can be like, yeah, I watch it with the subtitles on.
I couldn't agree more. I wonder whether some of the hype around it, I found it quite good.
Yeah.
Maybe the first 5 or 6 episodes.
I reckon the first 6 episodes, I haven't been that hooked on it. It really...
Really gripping.
I mean, I didn't hate the end episode, but there were 2 towards the end where I was like...
Well, the one where... I mean, spoilers here.
Huge spoilers. But like, as soon as those VIPs came in, I was like, this is fucked. Well, it could have been so cool the way they had
it. The VIPs I didn't mind because it was kind of almost like... A Korean interpretation of what like Western big
what they think
fat,
like.
White people are.
Yeah, which was funny.
Which was funny seeing those caricatures.
It's like dumb.
Like
it's
the like dialogue is just dumb as shit. But it did make you realize, and to be honest, I saw just a clip of a dubbed scene as opposed to a subtitled scene. And that made me think of this too. Like the dialogue is like shit in that dubbed one. Whereas it felt more kind of emotionally real when they're actually speaking in Korean. But then I was like, oh, is it just, do I only think it's kind of a bit more emotionally good because it's like they're speaking another language and there's like an element of like curiosity that's evoked as a result?
Yeah.
When really, if you read the script translated, you'd be like, I don't know. Is it just the classiness?
But I would love to talk to a Korean person about it because I felt like it was quite overacted, but I probably wasn't paying as much attention because I'm reading the subtitles.
Well, that's what I think as well with overacting, that I think you get away with overacting if it's a different culture, because you can just say, which I kind of assumed, oh, this is probably like a bit of a Korean style of acting and of storytelling.
Yeah.
There were different like archetypes of like comedy characters. Like the main guy was very silly and funny, you know.
Kind he was of, like so, he was like a classic fool.
Yeah, he was like a bumbling fool. Which if
so he spoke, mean to his mother though.
I like how when he gets out, he's fucking. I suppose his mum had died, but he was also. He told that the other woman that he was in the game with that he was going to go help her son.
Yeah.
Didn't talk to that guy for a year. It was just boozing it up next to a river being like,
it would fuck you up though, dude.
Yeah, but come on, mate. I wanted it to cut to him like on an island, like rich as hell, like, yeah.
Just like partying it up.
Girls everywhere. Like, yes, I've made it.
I expected him just to, do that.
Because
he was so flawed throughout the thing. I mean, it does show that he has some kind of more of a moral compass than others. But he was so flawed going into it that I was like, of course he would just take the money, and then I didn't expect him to live with the guilt for a year and just go see
your daughter. You soju by the river. Oh my God. Hasn't touched the money. Grow up.
I know. It's like the Jay Leno thing. It's like, I never touched the Tonight Show money. It's like, give me a fucking stop. Break.
It's
like,
it's not cool. It's in your bank account.
Spend it.
So many people died. Have fun. You owe it to them to go and have fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't like, I don't know. Is that it did seem to, in some of the later episodes, they were trying to like make emotional things out of things that you didn't really care about.
Well, I think the I think the story is great, and it really kind of only could go one way, but I felt like they were able to draw it out in a way that, I mean, I haven't seen on TV for a while, that you're like, the inevitable's obviously coming, but you can't really look away.
Oh, it was dead. And it wasn't all kind of inevitable. There were some good twists in there. It was just a good, simple premise. It also played out looked, in a kind of classy way.
Looked awesome. Incredible.
Looked fun. Kind of simple, like, world that you're kind of operating in. And just, like, fun twists every now and then.
Dude, wait for the stand-up bits. People have Squid Game. It's all anyone's going to be talking about. Oh, my
God. I really like the, the one of the American kind of VIPs who came in.
Yeah.
Obviously, one of the waiters was actually the cop who was wearing
the hottie.
Mask.
He's like blowing up that guy.
I can fucking understand.
Yeah.
But that guy, the guy who then took him into another room, took the cop another room.
Because he wanted him to.
Yeah, to engage with him sexually. That guy had flown around the world to watch people fight to the death for his entertainment. 20 minutes in. He's like, I might actually go get sucked off, actually.
Yeah, it shows the power of the horn.
It's like, how old did you have to be, you old fuck?
Dude, but
they've set this up as entertainment specifically for you. The people are dying.
People
out
are
there,
dying
and
in
you're
front
being
of
like,
you.
I might actually go get sucked off. It's like, you've got
shows the power of
all
the suck-off.
Year to get sucked off, man. Jesus
Not
Christ.
Not by the hot Korean waiter. Whilst I reckon part of it would be like coming back out and seeing who's alive still.
Yes.
That would be kind of interesting.
The pop out and then pop back in.
It's like halfway through the suck off, just popping back in, being like, is number 32 dead? True. All right, finish me off.
Yeah, true. And he was gambling. So to have a punt on and to get the suck off at the same time.
Who's taking the odds, though? Are they just gambling with each other? Like, sports bet aren't doing a market.
No. Yeah, that's probably the guy who runs it. That's
how he makes
the
money.
He's the bookie. Yeah, I reckon he's making money on the spread. Like,
yeah, of course.
He's doing the odds. Because you could justify taking a bit more than, sports bet would on the the spread if you're running a death cult.
I guarantee fight. Season 2 sports bet will be doing odds.
Of like who dies.
Yeah.
I suppose that's fine because it's fictional.
Oh, of course it's fictional.
I mean, it's
but that'll have
pretty
a
close to the actual. That's like, life imitating art, imitating life.
Yeah. But anyway, no, I thought it was, I liked it, man. Squid Game.
I just do wonder. I completely agree that I think the subtitles, it's an interesting relationship people have with subtitles because it's not that different, particularly if you're watching something that's quite easy watching like that.
Yeah.
Like people associate subtitles, as you say, with these French films that are quite like a bit boring and slow and like they're kind of going for a different thing. They're not there to titillate you in the same way as some Western films. But that, very like similar to Western TV,
totally.
In terms of it's like, short attention span, like
bang, boom, bang, boom, bang, bang,
everything's happening. Yeah, I feel like, I don't know. It's just an excuse for people maybe to watch something a bit trashy. It's like you were saying how girlfriend didn't want to watch The Departed, but then I watched with my girlfriend the the subtitled Hong Kong version.
She
it's
loves
exactly
it.
The same shit. She's like, it was very interesting. Well, it's like,
kind of is like Game of Thrones, but just like, a bit more culturally.
Yeah.
Exciting. That's
exactly what it is. Which people like Game of Thrones as well.
I mean, but it's still like at the same level of trash I'm not saying it's trash, but I'm saying it's like
exciting, showy. TV.
Yeah, exactly. But not like the best show of all time.
No.
But it's just like, I just think Netflix must be like so confused that became the biggest show. Like, I know they obviously backed it and they put money into it, but it's like, that's the one.
Don't you think, though, that if China did one, you'd be more pro-China? Because my understanding of what China's doing, they're doing lots of things to try and, you know, take over the world a little bit, or dude, kind of expand their influence.
They just need to do sneakers.
They're donating, like, lots of money to African nations to try and build up the infrastructure, to, like, build allegiances with those countries. They're trying to build allegiances with
With Africa.
Well, I think that's one place. I presume they're doing stuff like that in Asia as well. Like, that's just one way you can kind of ingratiate yourself to a society, and then, you know, maybe in 20 years, if they want to have a bit more influence over the government's policies, there wouldn't be as much anger from the public because, oh, you know, they paid for these roads. So, like,
sure,
we owe China a bit. We're not going to...
But, like, Squid Game, you're saying that's going to make... No one really has any bad feel. I mean, if North Korea did Squid Game... Now we're talking
about... A bit on the nose. But no, but let's say China did a Squid Game.
Yeah.
Wouldn't... Well, you know, 10 years of Squid Game and it was killer. It was the best show on TV. Yeah. It was the Game of Thrones. And then a few movies. Then, in 50 years, when China establishes more of an influence or wants to in Australia, they say, look...
They set up the Sydney office.
Exactly. They set up a Sydney office and they're like, look, we're going to be making some changes to the government structure. I feel like people are going to be like, oh, I mean, free speech is nice, but also that Squid Game, Game of Thrones was thing really was good. Pretty good. It's like, is it going to be more like that here? Because some of those
so characters we're get were those kind of green, sexy. Those and green kind jackets.
Of, exactly. Kind of fun. I don't know. Like, you'd have to do a show with lots of sexy characters, lots of cool stuff going on.
Yeah.
I feel like it's the soft diplomacy.
I mean, I do think that would work. I said before, sneakers will do it, man. If they just... Could somehow
they have the coolest.
Air Jordan?
Yeah,
I think did so much for America around the world. It's just like the coolest sneaker. Yeah. Everyone's wearing it. If China somehow made, I don't know, whatever they're going to call it, the CCP sneaker,
maybe,
and then everyone's wearing it around the world.
I think sneakers are done. I feel like they need a new fashion item. I agree, fashion, but I feel like sneaker. Maybe what about like a hat? A new type of hat.
I mean, it's all done though.
Is it?
You've got cowboy, fedora, cap.
Yeah, you've got cowboy.
It's like, what are they going to do? How can you change
the
hat?
We're an hour into the podcast. We're listing hats. We've got cowboy. We've got fedora.
No, but you can't. You can't redo the hat.
Backwards cap with... cap with backwards and front.
I feel like that's been done. You know, the one with the flap to keep your neck?
Yeah, true. Side to side? Cap each way?
Sort of has been done, but not with long brim.
Yes, sunglasses attached to the hat.
Like, why?
Okay, but now you're not saying we've been done. You're asking why, and now I'm asking why
it's
not.
It's like, what, so the sunglasses, you can just press a button, they drop down.
Oh, that's even better. I just pictured them there already when you put it on.
Dude, because the baseball cap, this is kind of, that's an American thing.
Yeah.
And it took off.
It's good. Helicopter hat.
I mean, it's been done, but if it could make you get off the ground, yes. Yes.
What about
it would take over the world.
That's a bit of a thing, maybe more of a Japanese thing, but like, you know, like a panda hat, like a hat that's not really a hat, but it's more like a beanie, but with a bit of like an animal on it, like an animal's eyes.
Oh, yeah.
On your forehead.
That's Japanese.
That seems like a thing.
Isn't it cultural appropriation to wear that though, maybe?
For Chinese people, I reckon they could get away with it. Or just... change it a bit.
Yeah.
It's like that kind of thing, maybe. You know, maybe like a...
And then, I reckon the irony will be when China in 50 years does take over, WA seceded and they leave WA alone.
So, but we need WA to fall. You're saying that they'll be the last ones left.
I think they'll just be like, no interest.
Because you guys can stay there. All the mining will be done.
There'll be nothing left to mine. It'll just be this big state.
Lots of desert.
And we'll have egg on our face.
Oh, my God. If WA come out of this, the winners in the long run, that'll be...
It'll be upsetting.
That's part of the fun of getting older, though, is that you see the kind of the timeline play out.
Yeah, totally.
So if in 30 years that does happen, that'll be funny because we'll be like, fuck. They were just like real behind on the COVID stuff, became really insular. Seceded, which was hilarious and stupid, and it kind of ruined their economy a little bit, and they became a bit of a backwater, and it like really didn't benefit them. But then 20 years later, China
invades,
doesn't even bother about them.
Yuck. I'm not even talk to them.
Yeah.
The wall they built was fine. China's like, we're not going over.
We respect walls.
Yeah,
we do the wall thing where we're from.
A new wall for us.
Exactly.
We'll build the wall higher.
We would be like, fucking fair play to you.
Yeah, well, maybe we move to Perth.